Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. And now Chris Woodward is with us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
By the way, occasionally we've got people ask us, why do I hear at the end of AFR shows that the views expressed here don't necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association when it's your own network? Do you not agree with yourself, Tim? I mean, this is very confusing. Let me just explain that. We do a lot of talk radio here.
Right.
And we interview a lot of people. And we don't always agree, you know, everybody who's on with our network, you know, they might be expressing a view that's in opposition to what we think.
Right.
Because we want to have a debate or something like that. Or we have people who express things that don't necessarily reflect the views of AFA, but there's something that needs to be discussed on a topic, okay? So that's why we do that, because we don't want everything that's said, by especially our guest, even sometimes, maybe occasionally our host, have a different view. Maybe it's not something biblical, it's something political, and good people can disagree. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So from time to time, we do have those things. So that's why that disclaimer is on there. I don't even know if we need it anymore.
Well,
I would
just add this, too, that American Family Association, which is the parent ministry that includes American Family Radio, we have a limited number of issues that are our issues.
Right.
Pro-life, religious liberty, marriage, family, human sexuality.
Right.
But on talk radio, our hosts, even those who work here, have a wide variety of views on, say, like immigration and the wall or the size of government. And the fact that they express those on the network does not necessarily mean that AFA has a position on immigration or the size of government. So try to kind of separate that a little bit.
So that's the reason for that announcement you hear at the end of our shows that we have. But anyway, Chris, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning.
Still morning time in the central time zone here.
And mountain time.
Yeah. It's just still morning and westward.
Right.
Till we get to the east.
Right. If you just keep on going, eventually
if you keep going
Japan.
Westward, you get to the east, right? The far east, in fact. Boy, that was insightful right there.
We do what we can. It's Monday, you know.
Yeah. All right, Chris, what do you got for us?
Well, I did want to bring this up real quick because obviously a big topic.
Is it a grievance you have or something?
No,
what
sir.
Sounds like you're prefacing that.
Hey, whatever you say, you know, the views and opinions of Tim. I want to bring this up because
reflect Tim.
I don't know how many people are maybe keyed in on this issue, but it is something that's been growing of late. I've seen it in sports talk primarily, heard it on a sports radio show I was checking out yesterday. Millions of people are missing work today, 17 million, in fact, according to USA Today. And the big reason is, not because they're sick with the flu or anything like that, the Super Bowl. A lot of people are either calling in sick.
You got a lot of reason to sleep during the Super Bowl.
Or they're taking the day off.
On that one. That was a good one, man.
All right. Well, next year is going to be the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
It's going to be the
Dolphins.
Dolphins. Uh-huh. Yeah. One can hope. I was two the last time they played in one. Uh-huh. Don't remember it. But anyway, millions of people are missing work today because of the Super Bowl. Either they called in sick and fibbed or took the day off in advance, things like that. And I'm bringing it up because there has been a growing debate again, on social media, some radio and print outlets and things like that, on whether or not to move Super Bowl Sunday to Super Bowl Saturday. And I'm curious to see what you guys would think about that. It's been on a Sunday
It'll
your entire
never
life.
Never happen.
The thing that's new, more or less, with my generation is, you know, you guys used to have the championship games, and then the next week was the Super Bowl. It was at the end of January. And ever since the 9/11 affected season, it's always been in February. And so I'm just like, do you think it should be moved up on a Saturday?
It's not necessarily because of 9/11. It may have maybe coincidental.
It's because it delayed it a week, yeah.
No, I'm going to explain here. I'm just going to let you know because you young guys don't remember. They expanded the season from 16 games and in 16 weeks to 16 games in 17 weeks because everyone now has a bye week. Mm-hmm. So that pushed the Super Bowl into February. That's why it is now the first Sunday in February.
Okay.
It may have been coincidental to 9/11, but it's because of the bye week.
Yeah. And the two weeks between the end of the playoffs and the Super Bowl, I think, too, they wanted some time to build up to the Super Bowl in the public's eye. To give the teams a breather because they, you know, and get them as healthy as they can because you want your stars on the field.
Right.
So there's a lot of reasons for the 2 week. But to answer your question, is it going to change from a Sunday to a Saturday? No, I don't.
Never.
No, it's too much of an American tradition.
It is. Yeah. And NFL games primarily are played on Sunday.
And more people are off work that can watch the game on a Sunday than would be off work on a Saturday.
Right. Yeah. Only concern I would have is, let's say they do move it to a Saturday and it becomes Super Bowl Saturday. How many millions of people are not going to go to church on Sunday morning because the game was last night?
I don't think you're going to have to worry about that, Chris. I really don't.
Well, I hope not, but I mean, listen, there's a lot. I mean, you can do a number of polls today and you see how many people actually go to church.
That's not something you say to your pastor. I'm sorry, man, I couldn't make it. I watched the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You'll just do the no-show and then hope he doesn't ask.
It was exhausting. Got over at 8:30, you know, and after that, I just couldn't sleep. Sorry about that, Pastor.
I was too keyed up.
No, I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What else you got, Chris?
Well, you guys ended the previous previous segment with Fred talking about how the economy was doing well, and certainly it's an understatement to say the economy is doing well. But
Obama's
one of the things that's really doing awesome is the job market. These numbers came out Friday, and you guys had Trivia Friday here. But according to the federal government's jobs report that came out this past Friday, you had 304,000 jobs created in January. The unemployment rate edged up to 4.0%, somewhat because more people started looking for work. So basically, the government shutdown that lasted 30-some-odd days did not appear to affect the job market. Employers were still hiring, things like that. And this builds off a really gangbusters number that we had in December. And these are kind of dead times of the year when there's not a lot of hiring.
Right.
But here's the thing. The big topic of conversation today. Now for a music break.
I clicked on something on my computer screen, and for some reason the music popped up.
It happens to me a lot. Sometimes they're in interviews. Sometimes my little ding goes off in the audio that I cut for you guys on the show.
I'll turn it off right now.
But, you know, this is a dead time of year in terms of hiring. This is actually the time of year when people got laid off from, like, holiday hiring jobs and things like that. But, you know, the big topic of conversation today is the Super Bowl, the halftime show, all the ads and things like that. And no one – it's like an incredible jobs number – has just been largely forgotten, and to some extent, I think we could probably say, you guys feel free to weigh in, do you think the media is ignoring the job situation?
Oh, Chris, I think for you to imply that these numbers would benefit Donald Trump and that the mainstream news media would like to ignore these great economic numbers because those numbers would help Donald Trump. Wow, that is a shocking accusation.
I'm bold like that.
Yeah. I think it's absolutely. To be fair, there was an awful lot of attention on the Super Bowl.
Right.
But if that is the case, then today the mainstream media should be talking about these numbers.
Well, you know, I think he's going to talk about them as President Trump tomorrow night.
Sure.
Is it tomorrow night?
It is tomorrow night.
Yeah, he's going to.
We'll be here.
He's going to do a little happy dance. You know, around the podium like that. Huh?
Because of the economic numbers.
Yeah.
The economy's been very good in the first 2 years.
It really has.
Of President Trump's administration.
Yeah. December's numbers were revised down. They were so, like, when you consider in the revisions that happen every month, November and December were 70,000 less than originally reported. But I talked to economists, including Dan Cilia, on Friday about this. Even when you take in the, well, we were wrong here's, and, you know, you make in the revisions, we're still doing between 200,000 and 300,000 every month consistently, which is something Obama never enjoyed.
And that's typical of these numbers. They always get revised one way or the other
right.
because they want to make sure they get all the details right.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that there's revisions is not unusual.
Yeah. All right. One thing that's kind of trending today, and I'm going to see if I can call this young lady that wrote this article here. She works for the Heritage Foundation. She contributes to the Federalist, things like that. Her name is Kelsey Harkness. She's got a piece today trending with the Federalist. It's about an art exhibit that invites people to throw trash at a vacuuming Ivanka Trump lookalike. Okay. This is at the Cultural DC's former Flashpoint Gallery in Washington, whatever that is. Basically, there's kind of a robotic Ivanka Trump standing there in you know, her dress clothes, high heels, and she's vacuuming. And the art exhibit, and I'm using air quotes, allows people to take trash from like a little pedestal they have there and throw it down, and she vacuums it up while smiling and waving.
Now, is this is a model, or is this an actual little robot?
It looks like it's a robot.
Wow.
You know, and Kelsey mentions a good point here. You know, the irony, of course, is that the exhibit reflects every stereotype feminists claim to stand against, over-sexualizing Ivanka's body and ignoring her hard work. Parentheses, one can only imagine the feminist rage if it were, say, Michelle Obama on display. And I think everybody could agree that if we were to use Michelle Obama or any other former first lady or even a first daughter in a way, yes, we have a thing such as free speech. Art is open to interpretation. But this seems to me that it's more proof that people just hate the Trumps and they're going to find ways to mock them.
You know, of course, there's two issues here. First is modern art. Now, I'm not savvy in terms of different, you know, impressionist style and all those kind of things.
You're not?
No, I'm not. Huh. I know that's a shock. It's a shock for you.
You had me fooled.
Oh, man.
Huh?
That was cool.
I've been telling other people. You want to talk to our art expert? He's in that office
when
right
you
over
redid
there.
Your office in Expressionism, it was just phenomenal.
Yes. Yeah. So the point I was seriously trying to make before I was just mercilessly mocked, in part because I am Italian, okay, is that a lot of stuff that's called art,
right.
I look at it, and I probably the majority of people go, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So the fact that this is art, supposedly art on display, I know they're trying to make a point, but I just go, well, where is the actual artistic ability here? So that's one issue. I'm not going to try to talk about it because you wouldn't have to drill down very, very deep to find out I don't really know what I'm talking about.
All right.
But then anything that's done, if it mocks the Trump administration and his family, is becoming increasingly popular amongst the elites of our country. So.
Right. Yeah, I don't get art.
I'm not shocked by this.
I married a lady. My wife is into art. She's done a lot of artistic things. And we watch stuff, and I'm like, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
But technically, what I do is an art. I don't know. Anyway.
Next
and
story.
I just want to say this one thing. The, you know, the Cubist interpretation of, you know, the good life in America, I will say that meant a lot to me.
Okay.
But the Impressionists and, you know, the Salvador Dali school – I just kept in complete disagreement with it. So I just wanted to mention that.
Dali.
I like Norman Rockwell.
Was that a movie?
No, it was a rock band.
Yeah, I thought it was Welcome John Wayne. It was a John Wayne movie.
Hey, the Sons of Salvador Dali.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I missed that one.
All right. What do you got next, Chris?
Well, all the more reason
to
be
better.
Well, it doesn't. It's like Cronkite said, that's the way it is. But anyway, here's a reason to not only have discussions with your kids, maybe around the dinner table in the evening, what'd you learn in school today, Johnny? Things like that. And even figure out what your school board is up to. New Jersey has become the second state in the union to require public schools to teach LGBT-inclusive material. New Jersey boards of education must adopt instruction that accurately portrays, quote, the political, economic, and social contributions of persons in the LGBT community.
Accurately promote the promiscuity in the homosexual community.
That is not included, I would guess.
Huh?
It doesn't say here, but I would venture to guess it's not in there.
Okay.
I'm shocked
that that's only the second state. Who's the first state?
California.
It's gonna
sweep the country
because of the Supreme Court decision legalizing homosexual marriage. Parents go and complain, and they go, "Well, it's legal,
right?
And a homosexual can get married, and we're going to tell kids about that. And the only cure for that is parents pulling their kids out of school to homeschool or send them to private or Christian schools, and to get some sort of voucher for parents to be able to financially do that. That's the only cure for that." And I don't see that happening anytime soon.
I'm surprised that New Jersey is the second state. Mm-hmm. So you're saying the Board of Education, but the state of New Jersey
has
adopted
yes.
and requires schools
a
now
curriculum or a program or teaching in their schools to promote LGBTQ. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And I say this. The only other option for parents is to get other parents involved and educated and to vote people like that out of their positions.
Yeah.
But it's so politically incorrect to do that, I'm not sure how many parents have the guts.
Yeah.
Well, in New Jersey, so liberal.
Right.
I think they would, most New Jerseyans would
applaud
before this.
Yeah.
I have no way of proving this, but you know, you force the people out that object to it, and then you regulate homeschooling and Christian schools out of existence.
Another problem we have here is people on who would maybe see this as wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, I just want to teach my kids math and science and English, and don't get into this social engineering LGBTQ agenda. Okay, I say New Jersey is so liberal. But there may be 40-50% of New Jersey people, citizens, who think like I do. They may say I ain't got anything against LGBT people, but I don't want that lifestyle to be taught to my children. In public school, that isn't a part of their education. Okay, but the other side. But when somebody thinks like I just expressed, it's another step. To go to your school board, for example, and say so out loud. Because once you say what I just expressed, hey, I don't have anything against LGBT people, but I don't want this taught to our kids. And they're going to hit you with hater, bigot, homophobe. They're going to attack if you work for a company, you're going to be fired. If you own a company, you're going to be boycotted and your social media shut down.
Right.
They will bring all the artillery.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a common person out there and you're going, man, I don't like this, but I ain't saying anything because I don't want my life turned upside down. You know what I'm saying?
You accurately describe what would come.
Right. So that's how they win. They win. Because there's you can't have a reasonable, honest discussion with these people because they throw labels at you. And the academia is already controlled by these far lefties in most places around the country. So your board of education, for example, in New Jersey, I'm sure they're all Democrats. So they're in agreement with but that's why they adopted it.
You know, one reason why a lot of, institutions, colleges especially, tend to go out of their way to be more inclusive is because maybe in the past they've said and done things to other people groups, and I think a lot of times maybe that was wrong. You know, like I know there are universities that used to deny minorities from enrolling, and now it seems like they're just come all, we'll do everything, you know, because we don't want to ever go through that kind of thing again. And so I think a lot of times they kind of have shamed, or they know they can be shamed.
I don't equate minorities with homosexuality.
No, because you don't get a choice if you're born African American or Hispanic.
Well, let me just, to Tim's point, if you're living in New Jersey, since we're using New Jersey as the example because of this news story. If you work for a Fortune 500 company, are you really going to go to a board, a school board meeting, and publicly declare your opposition to homosexuality? You think you're not going to get fired? You'll get fired from your job.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
Because the homosexual community will petition your company. This hater should not be employed.
Right.
And if you don't fire him, you're a hater too.
Right.
You're gone.
And that works.
And it does absolutely works.
Right. It's unfair. Like I said, but it's reality. I remember one time I was to tell you how this intimidation works. I was at a congressman's office in Washington, D.C. This is 10 years ago or so. I won't say who the congressman was, but they were somebody friendly to our side. And I went in and they said, wow. Man, you got a lot of enemies, don't you, talking about AFA? And I said, what are you talking about? And they said, well, all we did was mention that the congressman had appeared on a a radio interview or had taken the same position as American Family on an issue, and then these LGBT activists started sending vulgar and obscene things to our Facebook page, and we had to shut it down. And they were calling our office, screaming at us and yelling at us and calling us homophobes and everything like that. And so everybody, that shook up their whole office, right, the people in there, because that kind of thing doesn't happen every day, right? So they didn't say this to me, but the implication was, that's the last time we'll identify with you guys.
Right.
Even though they do. They're political. Right. But that's the last time we mention an association with the AFA, because we don't want that kind of blowback.
Right.
Again, that kind of intimidation. That was scary. Mm-hmm. You know, so if that happens to a congressman's office who's sympathetic to your causes, yet they have that happen, they're going to be, you know, they may not tell you, you know, I'm not going to do that again. But it's the same thing with the, like you see with the.
If you're just an employee for a Fortune 500 company, let me take that, your example, and let's turn it to the corporate world. The founder and CEO of Mozilla, Brendan Eich, in 2008, he gave.
Founder.
Gave like $1,000 or some small amount to the Prop 8 campaign against same-sex marriage in California.
Excuse me if you interrupt, just so people are clear. He gave $1,000 to the pro-traditional marriage cause.
Right. Well, they discovered that because those kinds of donations are public information, public knowledge. Someone found out. He was forced to resign. The CEO of the company, Brendan Eich, forced to resign because of the pressure that came. Now, if you can force out the CEO of a major a media company or tech platform, you think they're not going to fire a low-level manager from his position because of it?
Well, and I've been told, and I'm sure you guys have heard this, read it, and maybe even talked about it on this show, but there has been a push primarily from people on the left to have groups like ours and many other organizations to have to disclose their donor lists. Can you imagine what would happen if somebody, if their name and address gets on the internet somewhere, it's never going
to
go away.
Well, there's nobody hardly to push back on these. And I'm not all saying all gay and lesbian people are like this.
Oh, no.
That's just not true. Tammy Bruce is a lesbian on the Fox News channel, I often agree with, and she often agree with her positions, don't agree with her lifestyle, obviously, from a biblical perspective, but she calls them the gay Stapo. Yeah.
Right.
So she's critical. So not all LGBT people are of the same mind on this. But there is a strong, aggressive group of activists who don't have any children to raise. All they got's time on their hands. They got nothing to spend their money on but this kind of stuff. And they hate Christians, and they view us as the enemy of their freedoms. And so they want to shut us down. By us, I mean the Christian community that teaches that homosexuality is immoral. So that's all they work on day and night. And all it takes is a few thousand of them to bombard a company.
Right.
And you've already got these CEOs who are godless anyway. They just like making money. So you get the LGBT activists come in there and say, we're going to boycott your company or shut you down if you don't... disengage, if you don't denounce such and such. And so these people go, okay, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
They don't have any conviction, about the whole situation. But anyway, now, with all that being said, we are seeing some victories, one for religious freedom in the pushback against this. So Jack Phillips, for example.
Stay in the fight, folks.
Yeah, stay in the fight. We got to keep on pushing back against the culture in many ways. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.